Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope.
So why continue to allow the lie to torment you? Why continue to allow the enemy to whisper in your ear and tell you that you are a failure and that you're no good and you'll never overcome? Listen, I had to learn a long time ago that no matter how much I tried, there would always be mistakes in my path. There would always be days along the way that I would trip up and fall down. I'm so tired of seeing us kick people to the curb. Lift them up!
I love the kids. Thank God. I'd rather have a little noise with a lot of children, amen, than have no children at all. It's worth every penny of it. It was being conquering the lies. If there's one thing that I know today, I know that the enemy loves to lie. The Bible said that he's the father of all lies, that the truth is not in him. I realize that today that sometimes in our own lives, we listen to the lie of the enemy. There's been times that he has whispered in my ear doubt. He has whispered in my ear words of discouragement. You ever been that person that walked into a room and someone was talking and they got quiet when you walked in? Just be honest. I've often heard that's arrogance and pride speaking, because if you think they're talking about you, we're really not that important. Amen. But we've all believed those types of lies where we walk in a room and someone's quiet and they quit talking. So we just automatically assume, because the enemy wants us to believe that. Well, amen. He wants division in our lives. He wants separation in the body of Christ. And he's a master at his craft. Not to give him too much credit, but it's the truth. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's had a lot of time to practice it and perfect it. Have you ever been lied on? Anybody? Or felt the sting of someone else's lie? What about when we lie to, or even lie about ourselves? I know most of you probably thought that this message, when I said conquering the lies, was going to talk about, because that's where our mind typically goes to first, is other people lying about us. The deceptions of the enemy are part of the lies and that we deal with in our life. But what about the times when we lie to ourselves? I was at my sister's house or somewhere the other week. I can't remember exactly where we were. My daughter's house. And I was standing in front of her mirror and I said, "Casey, this mirror lies." And I said, "I don't know where you got it, but I need one because this mirror makes you look skinny." She said, "I told my husband that." And if for some reason, you ever seen a mirror that makes you look a little bit bigger? Or at least you believe that? But some mirrors, maybe the way they're made, they make you look, they actually have mirrors to make you look slimmer. Do you know that? And I found myself standing in front of this mirror and I'm thinking, I should take this mirror home. How often today are we guilty of living life based on false or unstable pretenses? The life that Jesus brings gives stability and assurance that when all else fails, He is always there. Brother John, I'm not so sure this is for me. I bet you'll change your mind before it's over. We pretend to be happy when we are hurting, to have money when we are broke. Well, come on now. Driving a car you know you can't afford. Watching a TV that you probably shouldn't have. Appearance. To have joy when we are stricken with sadness. Many times the church has trained us to do that. Because there's a mentality that we should always be smiling. We should always be happy. There should never be a difficulty in our life. And so we walk around with a fake smile on our face. Is that not a lie? I'm not saying that we shouldn't profess in faith, but there's times when we walk around and we really need somebody to pray for us, but we're pretending to be something we're not. Oh, amen. There's times where the pastor preaches his heart out and the Holy Spirit moves in a service and you feel drawn to the altar to pray and surrender whatever it is, your marriage, your life, your health, but because of your pride,
you convince yourself it's all okay? How many times have we seen and heard about someone, a spouse that's been battered and abused, but they continue to convince themselves it's going to be okay? It happens in the body of Christ. We hear the word. We go to our knees to pray. Some of us quit praying because we no longer want to deal with the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord deals with our heart. He convicts us. The other night I was talking with one of our teens and they were so honest, and I find it very refreshing many times that teenagers and children can be, that they're so much faster many times to be honest about what they're struggling with because they want you to pray for them. But somehow as adults we want to present ourselves in a fashion that's no different than a Halloween costume. I could dress up like Spider-Man all day long, but I'm still not Spider-Man. You got that image in your mind, don't you? Very healthy Spider-Man. Somebody say amen. To pretend like we love, when in truth our heart is full of hate. Oh, I've pastored long enough to see and hear the I love yous, but only to watch the action that follows to be different. I'm talking about conquering the lies today. Oh, this is going to go deep this morning. I want you to listen. For all of these, there's a cure. You don't have to come here today in this house and pretend that your marriage is perfect. Because can I tell you, my marriage isn't perfect. Well, Pastor, I'd like to think different. Well, I'm sorry to bust your bubble, but sometimes my wife is bad. So... That wasn't planned, but it was good preaching. Amen. Most of the time it's me, actually. Yesterday I sat down after we got finished with the work day here, and you know, it was raining outside, and me and Ben carried something out at the end. I was all damp. Then we all went and had a bite of lunch together and just had such a great time. I left there saying, God, I thank you for Mountain Gap. I thank you for my church family. I just felt so overwhelmed with the genuineness and the heart of service and the involvement, and it was a blessing to me as a pastor. And I was on my way home, and then I had to turn around and come back to church real quick for something before I got home. And then anyway, made my way back to the house, and I said, I am going to take a nap. It's rainy. It's nasty. Kylie's not interested in doing anything. Selena's not here right now. And I sat down in the recliner, and just as I started to doze off for a second, my phone went, ding, 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 ding. I look at my phone. It's Selena. And what are you doing? And I text back, trying to take a nap. Laid back down. Here comes her car into the garage. She opens the door, starts opening the door. The door is locked. I go to the door. As I'm walking back to my recliner, I said to myself, I do not know why is there even any sense in trying to take a nap? And she said, well, welcome home to you too, honey. Don't judge me. I just wanted a nap. My marriage isn't perfect. Sometimes we squabble. Sometimes we have a disagreement. So do you. But I also see where God's brought us from. But can I say this to you today? Until you get to that point that both of you are willing to acknowledge where you are, you're not going to find victory. You can keep putting a smile on Sunday morning. I don't care how long you profess to serve the Lord. I don't care what role you serve in the church. You can continue to pretend that it's all perfect and everything is great. And you will stay in that bondage until you get ready to be honest and conquer the lie of the enemy. You can live in any state of bondage, of unhappiness, be miserable, live without joy. You can listen to the devil's degrading words for the rest of your days. But until you address them, you won't find freedom. You can tell someone all day long that you love them, but you got to start demonstrating that love. The word says first pray for them. Well, amen. John chapter 8, verse 36. Let's read it this morning. A verse that we all know, but something I hope that you'll see a little different today. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, everybody say the Son, you shall be free indeed. I'm fearful today that there are many Christians that aren't truly free. I'm fearful today because We quote this scripture so loosely and so rapidly, the sun sets you free indeed. Who the sun sets free, the King James says, is free indeed. We say it fast, but therefore if the sun makes you free, I like this, you shall be free indeed. There is no other alternative to freedom except the sun. Oh, now we're preaching. See, we've tried to find our freedom through our social status, maybe in our local church. Acknowledgements from friends or family. Maybe we've got co-workers that make us feel welcomed and loved and appreciated. And so we tend to bathe ourselves or drown ourselves in long hours of work. That's for somebody right now. I knew a man that for years he would go off to work every day and he would work many, many hours a day and he would tell you point blank, they joked about it, but it was the truth, just to avoid his wife. She bragged about how mean she was. She bragged about how she would have his supper ready and on the table that when he got home at night she had already eaten, he could eat, and then he would go on to bed because she was already in the bed. That's not marriage. We've got to get to a point and a place in our life where we're honest, where we're allowing, if the sun makes us free. No other process can give you freedom. Alcoholism won't give you freedom. You can drown your sorrows, but your sorrows are still there. You can smoke your sorrows away. I'm not talking about nicotine. I'm talking about the other kind of smoke. Wacky weed. Whatever you're smoking, whatever you're snorting, you say, well, Pastor, not me. You would be surprised today how many of us take way more pills than what we should take. Leading epidemic in our world today. I see it all the time. People losing everything because we become addicted to painkillers and we wear them out. We exhaust them. I see it all the time. I've got family that deals with it. I have walked into the homes of elderly people over the years that I love very much and watched their life transform and change to the point they could barely function. Because without realizing it, they had become addicted. Oh, come on now. You ask any of our doctors in here today, I guarantee they can tell you they've seen it. They've dealt with it. They've seen people struggling with it. You ask our pharmacists, they've seen it. As a pastor, I've seen it. Why are you telling me this? Because we got to conquer the lies. The lies of the enemy says that you can drown your sorrows. The lies of the enemy says that you can find some type. And some people do it through relationship. That's why they go from one to the other. That's why there's no stability in marriage that lasts for them. Because they're looking for something to fix their sorrows. They're looking for something to fix their pain. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me, everyone in this house. There is nothing that can heal your pain. There is nothing that can fix your sorrows like the love of Jesus Christ. It is His shed blood. It is His love, His death, burial, and resurrection that truly sets the captive free. Free from sorrow, free from pain, free from bitterness, from hatred. It's Jesus who the Son sets free. That's why many professing believers today aren't walking in true freedom. It's because they've sought their freedom through some other source than the Son. That's why sometimes professing believers, I have to emphasize, professing believers leave churches. They blame the pastors, they blame the elders, they blame the programs of the church because they're not walking in the fullness of freedom. Listen to me, if you're not willing to be intimate with God and be honest with God about where you are and what you're dealing with, you're never going to find freedom. It's never going to change. I used to have a real problem. You know I like to tell stories. I had a real problem with exaggeration, which is a lie. Hold on, don't look at me like that. Just ask some of these guys here about the fish and the deer they've killed. Boy, it told me a story today about somebody who won't say who, but you know, they wasn't really trying to. They were just excited. I did it one time. I'll never forget the first deer I killed. I called my buddy. I said, dude, I've killed a monster. I ain't kidding you, man. He was a monster, and he come to help me, and he was a pretty 8-point, but he wasn't the monster that I proclaimed him to be. It's just before I pulled that trigger, he looked like a monster. My first year hunting, if it was brown, it was down. I shot more deer than I could eat. I was giving it away left and right, and I finally realized I ain't hunting like that. That's too expensive. You get that many deer processed, that's more money than you can spend.
So I cut it back. If he wasn't going on the wall, he wasn't going down, and I'd shoot two a year for meat, and they had to be a yearling or a doe. That was it. Well, that's another story for another time. But I exaggerated. And my wife would call me on it, which did not make me happy. I mean, the story was just going, and I was telling it, and I was enjoying myself, and people were laughing, our friends were laughing, and there's been times around in church I did it. I did. I didn't mean to. It just kind of happened. I was telling the story, and it sounded so good, and I'm not even sure how I did it. And Stacy, she'd tell me after service, that's not the way it went. I'm like, what do you mean that's not? You know, John, you got carried, and you need to. And so I began to pray, Lord, I don't want to do that. That's not right. See, I happen to be transparent and honest. And, you know, sometimes we don't want pastors to be that way because we want to think they're perfect. But can I tell you something? I put my pants on the same way every other man in this room does. One leg at a time. Tie my shoes pretty much the same way as probably all you time. Brush my teeth, I hope, like you brush your teeth. I'm human too. And just like with that situation, if I wanted to ever be free from that lie of bondage, that enemy that said, it's okay, it was a good story, it's not a big deal. But it really is, because lying is lying and sin is sin. Well, amen. And so my wife would tell me, and I didn't like it, and it would make me mad, and then I'd get mad at her and try to argue with her. And then that didn't turn out good. And so finally I began to realize that, God, the only way this can change is for me to acknowledge it. I remember years ago there were certain words I would say that I felt convicted of and didn't like. And so I finally made up my mind that any time I did it, I would just repent right then, out loud. And can you imagine being in a grocery store and saying something you shouldn't say, and all of a sudden you just out loud, Lord, forgive me for saying so and so. People look at you a little strange. What do you mean? It's called conquering the lie. It's called getting so bold and such tenacity and such desire inside of you that you don't really care what anybody else thinks anymore. You'll go to the altar as many times as you've got to go. You'll stand up and confess it out loud as many times as you've got to confess it out loud, because the number one goal in your life is who the Son sets free. When you confess it to God, when you give it to Him, when you're willing to go to these altars, get in your prayer closet and get along with God and give it and give it and give it and give it. God bless my marriage. God heal my family. God touch my children. God help me with these lies. Help me with these struggles. I'm not going to pretend anymore. God, I don't need a title. I don't need anybody to be impressed. I just need to be surrendered to You, who the Son sets free. I want His freedom. Not anybody else's. I want God's. Romans 8:2 said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life, or the law of life. I like how John G. Lake talks about this. Years gone by, I've probably read every book that's ever been wrote about John G. Lake. But one of the things that he dealt with was in a foreign country dealing with the bubonic plague. And how that he had the scientists take the very foam from the mouth of those poisoned and dead and drop the live virus onto his skin, and they would watch it dissipate, and they wanted to know what he had. They wanted to understand what was different. And he said, it's the law of life. He said, you have to understand, for the law of the Spirit of life. I'm going to say it again. For the law of the Spirit of life. Do you understand that there is a law of life? The promise that if Jesus Christ, if you've been born again by His blood, set free by His love and His grace, that now all of a sudden you live by a different standard. You live by a different principle. So why continue to allow the lie to torment you? Why continue to allow the enemy to whisper in your ear and tell you that you are a failure and that you're no good and you'll never overcome? Listen, I had to learn a long time ago that no matter how much I tried, there would always be mistakes in my path. There would always be days along the way that I would trip up and fall down. I'm so tired of seeing us kick people to the curb. Lift them up. Don't talk about them. Don't criticize them. Well, good preaching, Brother John. For the law of the Spirit of life. For the law of the Spirit of life. I'm going to say it a million times. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's who the Son sets free, is free indeed. It's in Christ Jesus. Your freedom is not found in my approval. Your freedom is not found in the world's approval. Your freedom is found in the approval, the washing, the cleansing of the blood of Jesus.
I was praying this week and I found myself praying like this. Lord, I know that I'm loved. Well, that's arrogant. No, that's faith in who He is, because it takes somebody big to love me. I know me. I still look in the mirror sometimes and know the old me. You know, the one that wants to throw his fist up at somebody going down the road. I know you don't ever do those things. I have a story I wish I could tell you, but I just can't. Had an argument with my oldest daughter. I'll summarize it. I can't tell you the whole story because it would probably embarrass her, or at least embarrass me in a way that I wouldn't want to be embarrassed today. But I had an argument with her concerning politics. I'll say it like that. She'd been listening to someone, and it just got my blood boiling. And my flesh got in the way. And I made a statement I should not have made. It was absolutely, completely wrong. And I had to say, I'm sorry. Well, amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law, sin, and death. I want to read you something this morning. The seed you sow today will not produce a crop till tomorrow. Hear me out. For this reason, your identity does not lie in your current results. This is not who you are. Your current results are who you were. What do you mean? Today's a new day. Let's make tomorrow different. Let's be honest about where we are today. Let's acknowledge what's happening today. When we're hurting, we're hurting. You don't have to put on a fake smile with this preacher. You don't have to walk in here and tell me everything's great and grand and wonderful because it's what somebody's told you you're supposed to act like. Can I tell you, sometimes we just need to go to the altar and lay on our face and say, I need help. I need help. Well, Brother John, I have to have it all together. No, you know, listen, you can spend your whole life pretending you have it all together and it all fall apart. Or you can just be honest and say, I'm ready to conquer this lie. I'm hurting today. Sometimes I've had to go to people and say, I love you, but you've really hurt my feelings. And I didn't want to seem petty, but it was honest. It was truth. My feelings were hurt, and I wasn't sure if they were rightfully hurt or wrongfully hurt. I wasn't sure if they deserved to be corrected or if I needed to be corrected. All I knew is I was hurt, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And in prayer and in love, I just went to him and said, my feelings are hurt. You've really hurt my feelings. The old me was an angry me. The old me was a violent and mean me. The new me cries, and the new me just learns to be honest. And most guys don't want to tell their wife when their feelings are hurt, because we're not supposed to, you know, get hurt feelings. But there's times I've had to look at her and say, you've really hurt my feelings. Well, Brother John, you ought to grow up and be a man. Well, I tried it that way, and that part of me wasn't good. But the honesty and the genuineness, and she might just say to me, well, I'm sorry. I told you the truth. And she's done that before. And sometimes, you know what? I needed that. And sometimes she would say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. At least once anyway, she said that. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. In order to change our future, we got to change what we're carrying around today. You want to change tomorrow? We got to start right now. Right now. What are you planting? What are you putting in the ground? What's coming up? John chapter 4, verse 17. I want to show you something. We read this verse the other day, but I found it very applicable to this message this morning. Verse 17 of John chapter 4. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Here's what I want you to see in this. Jesus always points us to the point of truth. Because it's the truth that sets us free. He didn't come down on her. He didn't criticize her. He just pointed her toward truth. He pointed her toward her reality. See, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit begins to move in a service, whether it's during worship, whether it's during the preaching of the Word. But the Holy Spirit points us toward truth. He shows us where we've been saying, I love you, but we're walking in hate. He shows us where we've been telling everybody we're financially fine, but yet we're broken. We're very much in need, and we're too ashamed to say anything.
He points us toward that place in our life where we're hiding the feelings that are really going on inside, the pain and the sorrow and the suffering, the struggles of our marriage or our life or our future, whatever it is. And he does it not to condemn us, but to bring conviction to reveal so that we can present it to him and find freedom. Listen to me, young people. We live in a world today that knows how to be fake. Come here, Kylie. Yes, Kylie. I'll pay for this one. Kylie's 14. I've watched her do her makeup for hours and hours and hours and hours on end. I've watched her watch YouTube videos on top. How many of you young people watch YouTube videos that have to do with something you like makeup or some hobby or something you want to learn about? Stick them up. Come on. I want to see them. Up, up, up. I got 45-year-old men raising their hands back there. I hope he's not watching your videos. But she would be taught, and her mother, she's helped her mom. She really has. I've heard her help her mother. She's really knowledgeable and good at it. She's helped her sisters. Her older sisters have asked her at times, "Will you do my makeup for me?" I mean, she's really good at it. This old contouring thing. And some other thing they do. I don't know. It's supposed to change the shape of your face. Not literally, but the appearance. I'm like, fix me up, girl. But the other day, she had on no makeup. And I looked at her and I thought to myself, how incredibly beautiful she was. We have learned in a world that's taught us how to fake and phony. Don't get me wrong. I don't care if she contours or shadows or twists or whatever the heck they do with it all. Go on. Thank you. I don't care. That's part of it. As long as she knows who she really is. Are you hearing me? The real you. Naked, unashamed. The real you. The one that stands before God just like you are. With a God that loves you, died for you, knowing every mistake you would ever make. He loves you. I spent a lot of years hurting and in pain. A lot of years looking for ways out of my sorrow. Until the Sunday morning that Jesus transformed my life. There was but one solution. Jesus pointed this same lady, the lady at the well, he pointed her to truth. He did not hurt her. He did not condemn her. But he pointed her to her current reality. I pray that the Holy Spirit this morning points you to your current reality and that you be bold enough to acknowledge it and give it to Jesus once and for all. We don't want to play games at Mountain Gap. We don't want to go through the motions. We want to know the heart of God and pursue it with every fiber of our being. How do we get free from a lie? Matthew 11:28 11:28-30 said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For the torment of your mind, I'm going to add that in if you don't mind, for your intellect, for every part of your makeup, spirit, soul, and body. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If what you are carrying today is overwhelming, it's heavy, it's not his. Swap it. Give him the burden of this life for his yoke. Having credit cards won't make you wealthy. Family pictures in a wallet doesn't make a family, nor does a little black book make one truly happy. I think the little black book thing's a little outdated now. Can somebody my age say amen? We know what that means. Life is full of masks and false presentations that lead to a sad demise of this life. I'm sure our men here that are in law enforcement and others that have served in public safety and things of that nature, you've seen the lies that people tell. The falseness, the pretense. All the things that they go through trying to convince you that they are something that they're really not. In reality, they're broken. Listen to me, young people. I'm talking to you this morning. Satan wants to destroy you. I was texting with someone the other night, and a young person here in our congregation, they were very specific in their prayer request. It meant a lot to me. One, that they had the faith and the courage to ask of their pastor to pray for them that way, but to be honest about what they were dealing with. They said in their message to me, they said, pray for me concerning my choices of friends. That's a real struggle for our young people. In a world that's full of so many lies and so many distractions. My heart's heavy today, guys. We've got to overcome the lies. We've got to let Jesus' work be done inside of us, or we can spend the rest of our days in bondage. How do we get free from a lie? Number one, we've got to come to God. What do you mean? Just as we are. The old song, we sung it how many times? Just as I am. Billy Graham used it for many years in his crusades. Just as I am. That's all God's asking for today. Not some pretend, not some mask, not some church phony. It's not some religious presentation, but just you. Just you. Knowing you'll make more mistakes, knowing that you'll fall down sometimes, just you. Knowing that you're not the richest person in the world, knowing that you don't have the answers and you're not successful in everything you touch, just you. Just you. Number two, if we're going to overcome the lies of the enemy, we've got to know what God has said about us. We've got to come to Him, and we've got to know what He says. Because if we don't know what He has said about us, we'll believe what the enemy says about us. If we don't know what God has said about us, we will believe what the enemy has said about us. In other words, we've got to know our identity. They sung about it this morning. Psalm chapter 139, verse 14 said, I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. It's time that we applied this truth to our life. We live in a generation today where our young people are constantly being bombarded with the acceptance and the tolerance for abortion. Listen to me, young people. The Bible said that before you were formed in the belly, in other words, before you were formed in your mommy's tummy, that God knew you. Listen to me, church. There are no exceptions. It is not our job. It is not our responsibility. And it is not our right to determine who lives and who dies. It's not. Under no circumstances, under the worst of circumstances, the Bible teaches us that before that child was ever formed in the womb, it doesn't talk about the circumstances. I said it doesn't talk about the circumstances. Too many times Christians try to justify abortion based on certain circumstances. No. I said no. Just meet somebody today that their mother contemplated but gave it over to the Lord and trusted, and watch how that person's life has turned out, and it changes your mind real quick. Make your selections careful. We live in a world today where many are not standing up for the right of the unborn. Make your choices careful. Don't make it off of race. Don't make it off of political views. Make it off of morality and the Scripture first. First. I will preach that as long as I live, whether people like it or whether they don't, because too many children are dying and not coming into this world because we're not standing up for what's right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. I'll move on. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Did you hear that? Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. In other words, everything that's covering up is removed. Listen to what it says. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. What is separating you today from the perfect will of God from your life? For your life. Conquer the lie today. Give it up and surrender to the Lord today. I read you this last statement and we close this morning. George MacDonald said this, truth is truth, whether it's spoken by the lips of Jesus or Balaam's donkey. I hope I'm a little better than Balaam's donkey. But you've heard truth today and you have a decision to make. the lie that you have tolerated, the thing that you have accepted. I'm preaching a lot to our young people today, but I feel compelled in my heart to do so. Do you know how many times I lied to this beautiful young lady in front of me? I did. I was young. I was a teenage boy. And like most teenage boys, I had certain things on my mind and didn't care about anything else. And there were things that I said to her to convince her of certain things, try to convince her of certain things. Some of it was the brokenness inside of me. Convinced that if I could keep her, I'd finally have somebody that loved me. I'm very thankful today that we've made it by His grace. But if I could go back and change some of those things and give her the future that she so deserved, I would go back and change it. Oh, I believe that God would still order our footsteps. I still do believe that it was God's plan that we be together. I don't question that. But if I could go back and take out my interference and just surrender to trust and faith and to His will, I would do it. I'm here to tell you as your pastor today, it's time to conquer the lie. Whatever one you believed, whatever one you've tolerated, whatever thing you've accepted, you want to be free from pain, you want to be free from the struggles, you want to be free from the sorrow, let's get free today. Would you stand to your feet? I've often heard stories of pastors that would have someone dress up in their congregation in a certain way that they were unrecognizable. Have them come into their congregation on Sunday and see how people would treat them. I noticed Wednesday night, several of our church families gathering around new people, shaking their hands and greeting them and hugging their neck. And I said, Lord, I'm proud of this. Let it always be the truth of who we are. I realized this morning that it would be very easy in the flesh to say, good sermon, Pastor. Let's all go get some lunch. I poured my heart out in prayer this morning, asking God to deploy His spiritual troops over the service. I kept hearing the word in my deployment, deployment, deployment. Just as the enemy has deployed his, God is greater. God, deploy your troops today. Deploy your angels carrying your anointing. Deploy your presence. Release it like a river of living water over this house this morning. And that every man, woman, you may stand here today and your lie that you need to conquer is that lie that says that you're not sufficient, that you're not enough, or that you're not worthy. That lie today that you may need to overcome is that you pretended that your marriage is perfect. And you convince everybody around you, but the truth is you're hurting so bad you don't know how to make it through tomorrow. That lie that you may need to overcome today is that you have been guilty of considering giving up your body to another person, a male or a female, maybe a teenager, maybe an adult, simply for acceptance or tolerance. Maybe you've made the decision to give yourself to someone, but you realize now it's not how you want to live your life. Because your real love and your real worth is in Jesus and not in this world. Maybe your choices of friends, as one young person said to me this week, haven't been the best and you're finding it hard, but you're ready to draw the line and live for truth and no longer live for the lies. Maybe on your job there's corruption. You find yourself in a position for standing up for truth and it's been difficult. Maybe you serve in leadership in this house and you feel like you fooled everyone. Can I tell you something today? You're no different than me or anybody else in this room. You don't need to be ashamed. You need to be free from hurt or pain or sorrow. We always think that getting free has to be a substance problem or it has to be some other problem. Getting free is getting free from anything that holds you from the will of God, that cripples you in your growth, It could be a spirit of negativity and bitterness, criticalness. I've met people that everything they looked at, they were so analytical, they tear it apart. Their children and their family couldn't be happy because they were so critical of everything. If you're ready to be free today, I want you to step out of your seat. I want you to walk to this altar. And whatever it is that you need to give the Lord, we're going to lay hands on you. And I believe today you're going to walk out of this place different today. You're not here by chance. You're here by God's plan.
Today, Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.